First, a little reminder. 2 weeks ago, the last time we gathered for worship, we read the passage in Mark just before what Art just read to us, which talked about how amazed the people were at Jesus and his authority in teaching and preaching and sharing the gospel. And in my sermon, I suggested why this might have been, that Jesus was authentic in his preaching. He practiced what he preached. He also preached good news. It was something different than they had heard. And then, drawing upon the passage in Deuteronomy, we also read that Sunday, which said we should listen to God's prophets and teachers and preachers, but also woe to those who claim to preach and teach in God's name if they share something other than what God has told them. And I suggested, one, that this gives me pause every Sunday, as it does before I preach, but also that these are warnings and words to all of us. And I ended that Sunday by suggesting we all are partners in preaching and sharing the gospel. And so that's where I want to start today. First of all, I would notice that in the passage Art just read for us, Jesus continues in his ministry to teach and preach and heal people. And as he says to the disciples, now let's go from Capernaum to all the other towns around the Sea of Galilee and preach and teach and minister, because that is what I have come to do. And I think Paul would suggest to us, and I would suggest to us, those things are what we all are called to do. It's what we're all here to do: preach and teach and share the gospel with others. To be, as Paul says to the Corinthians, partners in the gospel, partners in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want to consider what Paul, the good advice Paul gives us, gives the Corinthians and us, on how to do that. Now, Paul starts with what is one of the great paradoxes of the faith. You know, as he says, I don't make use of the rights to which I'm entitled under the gospel. I am free from all people, but I've become a slave to all people. If you've ever read any Martin Luther, this may sound very familiar to you. Martin Luther, famously drawing upon what Paul says here, wrote this: a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. A great paradox. Luther goes on to say this: we conclude, therefore, a Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ and in his neighbor. Otherwise, he is not a Christian. He lives in Christ through faith, in his neighbor through love. By faith, he is caught up beyond himself into God. By love, he descends beneath himself to his neighbor. If you pick up on what Paul and Luther are saying here, and this ties in to how we share the gospel, Paul is reminding us, as Christians, as followers of Christ, believing and trusting in what Christ came to do, we are free of all earthly commitments and attachments and bonds. We are saved by our faith in Christ and what is to come. So we are free, as Paul says, from all people. Yet if we are truly following Christ, we make ourselves servants and subjects of all people. As I've said before, I'm a great Christian when I'm all by myself on my deck at home. That's easy. But I'm not really being a Christian when I'm by myself. None of us are. You only truly become Christian or a follower of Christ when you interact with other people. That's part of what Paul is saying. So the first step in sharing the gospel, in being partners in the gospel, is you're going to have to deal with other people. You can't do it all alone. There are times to be alone, as Jesus demonstrates in our reading in Mark, you go off to pray and be strengthened. We need to deal with people. But then Paul goes on and he says, I become a servant of all. In fact, he says, I become all things to all people. For Paul, he's basically saying, I will do whatever I have to do to fulfill this bedrock calling that we all share, which is to share the gospel. I will do whatever it takes. And so he says, when I am amongst those who are Jewish, I become Jewish to help share the gospel with them. When I'm around those who feel they are still under the law of Moses, even though I'm not under that law anymore, I'm free of that. I become like one under the law. When I'm dealing with those who are unbelievers, I become like an unbeliever. When I'm with those who are weak, I become weak. I think he'd go on. When I'm with those who are strong, I become strong. When I'm with those who are rich, I act rich. Poor, etc., etc., etc. What Paul is saying here is evangelism, and that's what we're talking about. Sharing the gospel requires us not just to deal with people, but to go to them, to go where they are, to meet them where they are, and to enter into their lives and their perspective. I think this is one of the, I would say, great faults that the church, capital C church, has made over the years in terms of evangelism. We got lulled into submission for a long time, thinking everyone was going to come to us. You know, and even when I was a child, in that period, those 20, 25 years after World War II particularly, the mainstream churches were booming. I mean, where did you go on Sunday morning? Everyone just went to church, particularly these mainstream churches, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran. You go to church and the mayor is sitting a few rows up, and city council people and school teachers and prominent business people, and everyone was just in church. And we kind of began to get lulled into a sense of false security. We don't have to go to people. They will come to us. Well, Paul is prescient. That's no longer the case. People don't just come to church as much anymore. So Paul is reminding us we have to go to people. We can't expect them to come to us. We go to them. Enter into their world, wherever they are in their journey. We go to them. We walk a mile in their shoes, so to speak. We see things from their perspective when we do evangelism. We can't expect them to come to us or even to be like us. We go to them, enter into their world. But there's also another aspect to this. For so many years, even when the church would go to people, and for too long the idea of evangelism was, white, rich Westerners go to Africa or Asia or some other place and take God to the people there. And too often that was the idea of evangelism in any context. We take God to people. You ever stop to think how arrogant that sounds? That we can take God anywhere, like God is a potted plant that we go visit, we just take along with us. Evangelism is not taking God to people. Remember, we enter into their world. And evangelism, I would suggest, means as we enter into other people's lives and where they are, we help them see that God is already there. God has been there. We haven't brought God with us. God is already there. Christ has already saved them. We help others see how God is already at work in their life wherever they are. So this is not the rather arrogant evangelism of thumping on a Bible and telling people how awful they are, if only they would just become more like us. This is go to people and help them see God and Christ already with them. It's not an arrogance, it's humble. and gentle and patient. This is not immediate results, this evangelism. It's walking with people, being with them. And that takes time. Might take hours, months, years, decades. All of this is wrapped up in what Paul is telling us, how we, each one of us, fulfill the calling we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We do it by going to people, which also means it happens largely the other 6 days of the week. We go to them. We enter into their perspective, their lives, their world. We become like them in that regard, walk in their shoes and help them to see, maybe gradually over time, how God is already there and how the love and grace of Christ, the good news of Christ, is already in their life. And we help them become partners in the gospel as well. Requires time and commitment and patience and gentleness and humility. That's what it means to be a partner in the gospel. That's what it means to be an evangelist. And that's what each and every one of us is called to be and to do.